Please turn with me in your Bibles here this morning, congregation, as we continue with our Lenten series looking at Jesus' upper room discourse, turning this morning then to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, where our Lord really begins the teaching aspect of that upper room discourse. We'll read the entire chapter here this morning, so beginning at verse 1. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you this morning. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest him myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you. For the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts. I draw your attention to our text for this morning, verse 27 of John 14. Verse 27, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let's ask God's guiding hand upon His word spoken this morning. Heavenly Father, we do pray that indeed You may be with our hearts. For if we follow after the ways of this world and have our eyes focused on these things, then indeed we have troubled hearts. But Father, lift our eyes off from these things, and may they be resting upon our Savior. May we look up to You and Your will for us. We thank You for giving us this great Savior. May we come to You through Him, and may You be with each and every heart gathered here this morning. Give them Your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the words of our text for this morning should be seen really as our Lord's theme verse for this 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Here we have Christ's main thought really for His first part of His upper room discourse. You might remember in chapter 13, our Lord was preparing the way for what He was about to say. We'll see that more in just a moment. But here now in chapter 14, He arrives full force, as it were, with His main message that He wants to give to His disciples. And it is a message of peace. Peace in the midst of a mixed up, crazy world. How they can have true peace, even when their hearts are troubled. Beloved, we should take notice that the whole of this upper room discourse is intended by our Lord to minister to the fears and the uncertainties of His people. Even though His own need at that moment is far greater, for remember, Gethsemane, His trial, the cross, is just hours away, yet our Lord's main concern is to bring comfort to these distraught followers. Beloved, what love our Lord has for us as He cares for us in this way. Now, we must remember the context for these words that our Lord gives in chapter 14 and understand why these disciples really are so distraught. At the end of chapter 13, remember, Jesus has revealed three very disturbing facts to them. First of all, that one of them was going to betray Him. Second of all, something would happen which would make even Peter deny Him. And third, He was about to go where no one could follow Him. Now understand, each one of those three was enough to send shockwaves through this little band of disciples gathered there that night in that upper room. But it was especially that last revelation that would have been the most distressing of them all. Because think about this, congregation. These disciples, over the past 3 years, have never left Jesus' side. They have given up their jobs, turned their backs upon family and friends and home and everything familiar. They've, in essence, burned their bridges in devotion to this leader. And now, He tells them, He's going away. And they cannot follow. You see, this is not just shocking. It's deeply disturbing to them. To be separated from their Lord was unthinkable to them. So you see, it's in this context that Jesus then imparts His word of peace to His disciples. Look at our text again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Beloved, the first thing that I want us to notice here this morning is that Christ's peace, which is being instilled here, comes only from Him, the Lord. This is Christ's peace. This is the first point of the message. Notice again what our Lord says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now, beloved, ask yourself, what kind of peace then is our Lord referring to? Well, in light of what went on immediately after this, which we're so familiar with, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, Ultimately, what Jesus is referring to here is peace with God. Reconciliation between a holy God and sinful people. True, rich fellowship now made possible because of what Christ was about to do. Drawing together these two parties who have been for so long at odds with one another. Sinful people and this holy God. This is the peace that Jesus is speaking of. This inner knowledge that we now are one with God because of Christ Jesus our Lord. And notice that this kind of true peace comes only through Christ. Jesus emphasizes this. This is my peace, our Lord is saying. And you see, that ties in closely with what he's already told the disciples in verse 6. Verse 6, you'll immediately recognize as one of the seven great I am statements made by Jesus in John's gospel. The Lord tells his followers that he's going away in order to secure this place of peace for them. You see, he knows he's going to the cross. He knows the fight, the battle that awaits him there with the devil and his legions. So he's not surprised by what lays ahead of him. He knows that on that cross, the full fury of the Father in his wrath against sin will be poured out upon him. But he goes there anyway for us. Our Lord goes to Calvary, you see, because there was no other way that his people could have this peace. This is what was on the line. Now, his disciples do not understand all that's going on there, as is evidenced by Thomas' question in verse 5. But listen to how our Lord responds to that. Jesus said to him, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because of what I'm about to do, I can give you my peace. True peace, you see, will not be had with God the Father unless we come to Him only by way of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is indeed Jesus' peace that He gives. No one else can supply it to us. No one else can find it for us. Peace with God can only be had through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is a teaching that we as Christians must hold to and not be ashamed of. Because understand full well, beloved, salvation, true peace with God, is only by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That is our Lord's whole point in verse 6, and here again then in our text in verse 27. So you see, congregation, to believe that peace with God can be found in other places, a variety of other places in this world. You know, that may sound very tolerant and open-minded of us, but understand it misleads people and consigns them to hell. To teach that salvation, peace with God, can be found in any other way than Christ alone is to preach heresy. And the blood of those you mislead will be upon your own head. So, beloved, realize our Lord's words in verse 6 give us both the absoluteness of the Christian religion and the necessity for Christian missions. You see, congregation, we have the truth that will set the prisoner of sin free. So we cannot keep this to ourselves. We must willingly and freely support, both with our prayers and with our finances, those missionaries who faithfully proclaim this true gospel message of salvation in Christ alone. And perhaps there's someone sitting here who is being called to be one of those faithful missionaries, to go out overseas, perhaps, leaving behind family and friends in order to bring this good news of true peace in Jesus Christ to those yet lost in sin and degradation. If so, do not hesitate to answer that call and to go. But even if you're not being called overseas, I also know that the Lord is calling every one of us who knows this true peace ourselves to be faithful witnesses of this peace wherever it is that God has planted you in this His kingdom. Wherever you go tomorrow, you're called to preach this peace, the peace of Christ, to bring this peace into your home, in your relationship with your spouse, your children, your neighbor across the fence, to bring this peace into your workplace, in your relationship with your boss, or with your employees, or with that fellow worker who stands next to you on the assembly line. You're called to bring this peace into your school, in your dealings, your interactions with that bully on the playground, or that professor in the classroom who so reviles your religious faith and mocks your Christian beliefs. It is to them that you must bring this peace of Christ. The message, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The peace of Jesus Christ through His atoning death on the cross of Calvary. That is the heart of the Christian faith. That's the message God's church must bring around the world. Secondly, notice that Christ's peace is totally different from the false peace that the devil offers in the ways of the world. Look at that middle sentence of our text, verse 27. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Not as the world. Now, beloved, here's the fourth mention of this term world already just in this 14th chapter. You see, the conflict between God's ways and the world's ways is a common sub-theme that runs all through the upper room discourse. Over and over again, our Lord in His final teaching is making it very clear to His disciples that what He has to say applies to and will only be accepted by His own chosen people. The world in general will pass this right by. They neither want to listen to our message, nor care about our message, nor have any understanding of that message. The redeemed will understand through the work of the Holy Spirit upon them, but not the reprobates. The seed of the woman will believe, but not the seed of the serpent. So you see, beloved, our Lord is making clear what we call, what our forefathers called the antithesis. That there are right now and ever have been from the beginning of time only two types of people in this world. Those who believe in and live by God's holy word. Those who believe in and live by their own set of rules. Covenant keepers. Covenant breakers. Those who have the spirit of truth within them, who are regenerated and are given the gift of faith, so that they now have peace with God. And those who live by the spirit of this age, the ruler of this world, as Jesus calls him in verse 30, and who are eternally lost. And notice from our text that the prince of this world also offers his people peace. Well, but it's a pseudo peace. A false peace that is totally at odds with the true peace of Christ. Well, you see, the devil holds out, loves to hold out the promise of peace through a variety of means. If you just pursue these external pleasures, that will bring you peace. If you just pursue physical rest and relaxation at all costs, that will make you happy. If you're looking for financial security, make them your most important thing in your life, then you'll be good. Even emotional fellowship. If I just had one close friend, then I'd be fulfilled. Beloved, understand So many people around us dedicate their entire lives to the pursuit of one or more of these promised cures for their troubles. If only I had more money, more time, more toys, more friends, then I'd be content. Then I'd be happy. Then this frightful feeling that I carry around deep within me would finally go away. But beloved, understand, even if a person had all of these worldly things, if they're still at war with God, none of those things will be of any help to them. That frightful feeling that so many people have and are trying to run away from with their pursuit of material things, understand that's nothing less than the knowledge of God, which Romans 1 and 2 tells us has been planted deep within the heart of every single person whom God has made. We all have that. Every person, the Bible tells us, is born with this inner understanding. First of all, that there is a God, and that I'm a sinner. I have not followed His word, and I'm going to be judged for that someday, and there's no hope for me. That's the frightful feeling, that's the skeleton in so many people's closet, and they'll do anything to get rid of it, except the one thing that will get rid of it. Submitting to Christ and trusting in Him. That frightful feeling is what the devil tries to have us drowned out with our pursuit of these earthly things, telling us that if we just have this one more thing, then I'll have that peace and this feeling will go away. But even if we get that thing, the feeling is still there. We acquire that one item. We reach the next plateau. We achieve our next goal. But that feeling of emptiness remains. We're just as unfulfilled as we were before. That is why, you see, the peace, so-called peace, that the world promises is fake. It will never satisfy. True inner peace comes only through Jesus Christ. The assurance in our soul that God is now pleased with us, reconciled to us, all because of Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. That peace far surpasses any earthly, material, and physical peace which is held out by the devil. The peace that Jesus gives is the assurance of our salvation, that the Father now unconditionally loves us because of the perfect substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. That is the peace that is in direct contradiction to, in antithesis with the ways and the thinking, the false peace of this world. And you see, if we have that peace then our hearts will not be troubled. No matter what our outer circumstances may be of our life. And that's what Jesus promises us next. At the end of our text, look at the end. Put the whole verse together now. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Don't miss the fact that this is exactly where Jesus began His teaching. At the beginning of chapter 14. Do you see that? Verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You see, in stark contrast with the peace of this world, which is only based upon earthly things that are here today and gone tomorrow, in stark contrast to that false peace, stands the true peace of Christ alone. Our Lord guarantees His peace to anyone and everyone who will submit to and follow Him. Because you see, His peace rests in the heart. It resides in the soul. And therefore, your eyes are changed as you look out at the world. You understand the folly of the things around us, the frailty of earthly things, and your eyes are lifted up to eternal things. Because this peace is found in a changed relationship that you now have with the Father because of Christ, because it's brought about by the Holy Spirit, that Holy Comforter. There can be true serenity within us. Even when our world, our own life may be falling apart, yet we know it's for our good that Christ is doing this with us and for us. Even though our health may be deteriorating, even though our age may be afflicting us, the Comforter comes alongside of us and gives us a true inner peace. Even though the world may deride us, condemn us for our beliefs, we can walk confidently down the path of life because it leads us to our Savior. Even though hardships may come to us, they might be financial hardship, hardships with family and relationships, spiritual tests and temptation, yet we can persevere with confidence because this peace of God, which passes understanding, is with us in Christ. So with our Savior, you see, we will understand that all these earthly things one day will pass. That this life is just a preparation for the real life that is yet awaiting us. We have our Lord's promise in verses 2 and 3 that He's preparing mansions for us, rooms, dwelling places in heaven for us. And we have this promise that He will then return and bring us, take us to be with Him. So because this peace that we have with Christ, we then can look forward, even in anticipation, to eternity in glory with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So death holds no fear for us. We'll talk about that more fully even here this evening. But because of our Lord's close connection with His Father, which He emphasizes, you may notice, over and over again in this passage, this peace that He has prepared for us as His people will never fail us. That is why our hearts can rest secure, untroubled by the toils and cares of this life. Jesus tells us, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. He emphasizes this closeness, this oneness with His Father numerous times, and He's doing so because He's staking His claim to divinity. Because of who He is, He can grant us this kind of peace. That's what He wants His disciples to remember. After He's gone, after these horrible events take place of the next 24 hours, this is what He wants them to remember. The offering of Himself on the cross. How it is sufficient for anything and everything that is in store for them. All the trials and troubles of their life that are yet waiting for them. This offering of Himself is able to bring true peace to those suffering from sin and alienation from the Father. That offering is able to grant real comfort in a comfortless and mixed up world. That offering is able to put the troubles of our heart in their proper perspective. Christ and His great and finished work. So the peace of our Savior, full and free reconciliation between a holy God and us as His people, is purchased for us through His death on the cross. Not through any earthly means. It's the supreme remedy for all of our fears and tribulations which we face here below on this earth. And so, beloved, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can go out into this world, which is just a preparation for the real world that's yet to come. We can go out in confidence and in hope because of our great Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that through faith in our Savior, true peace can be had. May that peace be with these Your people as they go forth with You in the week that You have planned for them. Wherever it is that You will take them, whatever it is that they will find to do, may they serve You with all their heart. And may You use each and every one of them, even in the midst of tremendous trial and heartache. Lord, may your hand of mercy, your true peace, guide them and be with them as they go out into this world. May you be their peace, and may you give them your grace. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.